Yogyakarta, apart from being famous for its student city, is also famous for its culinary paradise. For you as foreign tourists, if you plan to spend your holidays in Jogja to enjoy natural beauty in various tourist objects, you must also try this popular culinary, namely Sate Klatak. As one of the unique culinary delights from Yogyakarta, Sate Klatak is a lamb satay dish originating from Pleret sub-district in Bantul Regency, Yogyakarta. This satay is quite different from other satays because the main seasoning is only salt and pepper, while other satays use soy sauce or peanut sauce as the main seasoning. Because the main seasoning of this satay uses more salt, some people call it satay uyah, which means salt satay. The satay sticks are not made of bamboo, but from iron bars. The skewers from these iron bars serve as a heating conductor that will make the meat quite cooked inside. Sate klatak is usually served with curry. Although the main seasoning of this sate klatak only uses salt, it can create a savory taste and the lamb is very tender. At the time of serving, one serving of sate klatak contains two skewers. You can add it with curry sauce, which adds to the deliciousness of this sate. For one serving of sate klatak, complete with curry soup, a plate of white rice, and also a glass of hot fresh tea, you only need to pay 20,000 rupiah. It is quite affordable, right?
Thank you. We are about to play a song by Nugi. Agustinus Gusti Nugroho, or Nugi, is an Indonesian actor and singer. He released a trilogy entitled Bumi or Earth in 1995, Air or Water in 1996, and Udara or Air in 1998. One of his best hits was Pelukis Malam, or The Night Painter. The song Pelukis Malam is about a human amazement over the nature created by the creator. The song also reminds us the humans are so little compared to planet Earth and the heavenly sky that is full of shining moons and stars. Listener, here is Nugi with Pelukis Malam. Enjoy listening to the song.
Dalam kabut, wahai malam.
of the Opak River and the rocks on the edge of the river, this tourist spot is very popular. The place is named Watu Kapal Tourism Park. Watu means rocks and kapal means boat or ship. It is so named because among the rocks there is one which is shaped like a boat. At Watu Kapal Tourism Park, visitors can do fun activities such as river tubing and cliff jumping from a height. To do this, of course, you must be able to swim and have guts. The distinctive cliff shapes, greenish, clear, and clean river water with natural plants on the cliff make the color combination very fitting and very beautiful. Besides that, the air is very cool. The shady trees becomes one unit of refreshing natural scenery. It feels incomplete if we visit this place without capturing the beautiful times there. Many promising photo spots that can be used for group photos and selfies. The location of the Watu Kapal Tourism Spot is in Kenggotan Hamlet, Sremulyo Village, Piyungan District, Bantul Regency. It is approximately 13 kilometers from the center of Jogja City towards Wonosari and takes about 25 minutes to travel. Because this place is still relatively a new tourist spot, the manager has not yet charged visitors for entrance tickets. So, if you are in Yogyakarta, take the time to visit Watu Kapal Tourism Park that offers cliffs, natural, distinctive architecture made directly by nature and for humans to enjoy. Therefore, when visiting this place, make sure to keep the environment clean and not littering.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a song from Paul Partohap. Paulus Andreas Partohap Silalahi, or better known as Paul Partohap, is an Indonesian singer and musician born on April 30, 1993. He's also known as the husband of Gita Savitri, Indonesian YouTuber and influencer. Paul began his music career in a debut single featuring Gita called Seandainya or If Only, released in 2017. After that, he kept releasing more songs. On November 19, 2024, Paul Partohap released a new single titled Vitamin U, which goes viral in social media, including on TikTok. The song is the second release after the full album launching, Lover's Atlas. Paul writes Vitamin U along with Khalisha Ishana, who also becomes the producer. Just like the other songs, Paul writes the song lyrics inspired by his wife, Gita Savitri. Well, listener, let's enjoy the song Vitamin U by Paul Partohap. Enjoy!
Forever side by side, a love so special can reunite two souls entwined. I'll pass my pride for a little while, but I found you with a smile. I love who I am when I'm with you. May all of me inside of you, all I want is you. There is no capture. datang membawa segala rasa dan kata yang kau pikir itu cinta.
Kau juga membawa segala janji dan mimpi yang kau kira itu cinta.
Kisah indah kita bagai dewa dewi, tak perlu alasan untuk saling cinta. Tawa canda
sakit hati,
kami rindu
air mata,
semuanya tak pada kita ketika cinta ada.
Makianmu,
cemburumu,
ocehanmu,
amarahmu,
nikmati dan katakan
selamat datang cinta. Marahmu,
nikmati dan katakan
selamat datang cinta.
Those who were victorious at the sea in the first millennium were the Indonesian people from Malays, none of Chinese who sailed. It was only after South could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Kalau istilah PVC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar tahun 1830-an, 1840-an.
Here around the 19th century and around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or cap catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Blitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east, so the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Pinisi sail.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya ide layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar Pinisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Pinisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Pinisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya pada tahun
The Japanese itu, generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, administration of the first Indonesian president Soekarno held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Pinisi boat is, because the term Pinisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the records of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari lompong, there was palari tongkong. The term Pinisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Pinisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Pinisi. So the term Pinisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Pinisi no longer existed.
Pertama setelah ada Pinisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, pau-pau yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Pinisi. Jadi, istilah Pinisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya sesuatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Pinisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. And ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
Alaska. People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Ara was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word Pinisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of. When Pinisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver, and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Pinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Pinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu, suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia. Karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Pinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today. At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan. And then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied it yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman, who was watching us as a witness who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir. If you still need more people. Then he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this Navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on two masts and seven developed sails called pinisi. The wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination.
Ya, kalau kita berlayar itu main di layar aja.
If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours. Like here yesterday, sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal pinisi di Bandung ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu pun bah, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Spinisi ship was built originally from Arab Bulukumbah, Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Tanpa ada bilang teknik bagaimana dan di segi pengalaman saja. Ah, dia kuelen seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan pinisinya 1 jam lebih.
With the Pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, ironwood, BT wood and kick wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from BT wood, but the scarcity of BT wood forced me to use it only for the ship purpose. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of thick wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang. Bisa untuk pasal tulang. Decknya ini kayu jati. Alhamdulillah. Papannya disusun, satu-satu, sampai
lagi. The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is, then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub. This is lowered, then the mast is made. The mast is then put on the hose rope. The mast rope, then the sail is put on. That's it.
Tali sling, tali tian, nampak buatan, baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Arab village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew this shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli
kapal. That's the formula. So this is how we are ship expert, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is a precise up to 6 meters without any writing about semi or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu, yaitu
There is one thing that is absent of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded about the gods. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemu-Lemu people. It seems to have a formula called Kakapalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Phoenici in the 70s, were much bigger. So, there is an impression that the Ara people, at some point in 1930s to 1950s, created a new manufacturing formula called Kapa Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Ara pada suatu saat, tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an, menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan tata apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 tons more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the cell phone won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat will not fit. And there is another point here. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not fail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve path from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, well, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only Phoenici.
Cara mengkonsepkan kurva-kurva ini tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit. Sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru kesenjian halaya kerana wah memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya? Memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atas ini situ.
Well, listener, that's the morning session of Indonesia Today. If you have some feedback about our programs, you can send it to our email, foilistener@gmail.com, or to our social media Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, and Instagram at foy_official. We are also available on WhatsApp, +62 821 2381 2130. Thank you for joining us. My colleague Steve will give more updates and information from Indonesia, so stay tuned on foynews.id and RRI Digital mobile application.
Paranghawu Beach, which is located in Sukabumi, has a unique, exotic, and natural beauty. This beach is one of the famous beaches in Sukabumi, with the distinctive beauty of waves cheering into the sea. In addition, this beach has a mystical history that has been well known and recognized by the local residents. If you come to have a holiday in this location, you will be presented with a beautiful view, which is a soft stretch of sand with brownish colors, cool air, and big waves that hit the cliffs. All of those add to the charms of the beauty of this Karanghawu Beach. According to the story of the local people, this beach is named Karanghawu because there are holes in the cliffs or rocks so that it will look like a stove. Hawu, which in Sundanese means stove. So this beach is named Karanghawu. In addition, this beach is also famous for its myth, in which it is said that the cliffs that jut into the sea is Nyai Roro Kidul's throne, the ruler of the South Sea. The length of this coastline reaches 4 kilometers. If you are at the top of the hill, you can enjoy a clear view of Karang Hawu Beach. The view of the high seas until the big waves hitting the rock. It's a very beautiful scenery here. Uniquely, in this location, there is a simple bridge, which was made by a bamboo. So you can take a walk through the flow of seawater to another end of the reef. Taking a walk along the beach with the occasional play with the crashing waves or even sitting relaxedly while enjoying the waves and sunshine is a fun activity on this beach.
VOI listeners, today's edition of Traditional Song of Music Corner presents a song from West Java entitled Peuyeum Bandung. The song tells the story of a dish called Tapai Bandung or Peuyeum Bandung in Sundanese. According to the lyrics, Tapai or Peuyeum Bandung is well known in both villages and towns. The main ingredient is cassava, and its price is affordable. All circles in Bandung, both parents and children, love Tapai Bandung. Well, listener, if you cannot taste it yet, let's listen to the song Peuyeum Bandung by Nining Meida. Happy listening.
Listener, here's the news. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto held a bilateral meeting with General Secretary of the Communist Party of Vietnam, Tan Lim. During the meeting, President Prabowo emphasized that Indonesia and Vietnam agreed to enhance their partnership into a comprehensive strategic partnership. The detail by Dora Pardede.
Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto stated that Indonesia and Vietnam not only share the same values and history in fighting imperialism and colonialism, but also the same vision of becoming a developed country in 2045, in the two countries' 100th anniversary of independence. This was conveyed by the head of state when delivering a joint statement with Secretary General of the Communist Party of Vietnam, Tho Lam, at the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta, Monday. On the occasion, President Prabowo emphasized that Indonesia and Vietnam agreed to enhance their partnership into a comprehensive strategic partnership.
Kita sudah setuju dalam pertemuan kita In our meeting, we have agreed that we want to improve our relationship, cooperation. We want to improve our relationship into a comprehensive strategic partnership. And we really want to strengthen and cooperate in almost all fields, political field, economy, defense and security, the populace, exchange of visits in the field of education and science, almost all fields. We want to increase cooperation and do something, if possible, a good economic integration.
President Prabowo further explained that Indonesia and Vietnam agreed to establish bilateral economic cooperation with a target of $18 billion by 2028. The president also welcomed Vietnam investment in Indonesia in the automotive sector, agriculture, and in various other fields. According to the president, this cooperation will help both countries improve food security and can even make Indonesia and Vietnam become world food contributors. Secretary General of the Communist Party of Vietnam, Tho Lam, and his wife, Ngo Phung Ly, visited Indonesia on March 9 to 11, 2025, for state visit, which also coincide with the 70th anniversary of diplomatic relation between Indonesia and Vietnam. Tho Lam was welcomed with a state ceremony at Merdeka Palace by President Prabowo on Monday afternoon. The two leaders then held a bilateral meeting. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency predicts that extreme weather is likely to continue until early April 2025. The head of the agency, Dwi Korita Karnawati, warned the public to be wary of hydrometeorological disaster threats during the Idul Fitr. In a written statement on Monday, March the 10th, Dwi Korita said, rainfall remains high in several areas of Indonesia, even though the dry season is on the horizon. Quoted from Tempo.co, during the first 10 days of April 2025, which are predicted to be the period of the return exodus or homecoming, brief heavy rain is still likely to fall. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. So, good afternoon from Indonesia. It's lunchtime amid the fasting month of Ramadan. And I'm Steve on the mic. We'll be in here with you with a lot of information about Indonesia. Today, we'll be talking so many things related to the upcoming homecoming flow, especially ahead of the Idul Fitr. And a lot of things, other things, will also be available on VONS.ID and the application RRA Digital. And I would like to give you a very nice song. It comes from regions from Indonesia. We have Alfred Gade featuring Pax Group with Ikan Naik Pantai, or The Fish Going Up to the Coast.
Buat rumput. kurang pes, kurang nikmat apa kita.